Some people like to keep things electronically. There's some great accounting softwares where you can just take the receipt, take a picture, it's there, and you throw the receipt out, right? Keep your receipts. Look at your receipts as opportunities to save money on your taxes.
How do you look at an account and say, okay, this is a good one and this is a crappy one, even though they have the same knowledge?
My opinion, strictly my opinion, a good accountant cares whether or not you are successful or not. They care about what you spend. They care about how you record your information. They literally care if you have, or if you're missing information, if you're missing knowledge, they care.
When people like us, you know, creative entrepreneurs, you know, people who have startups are going through their day-to-day business, what are some of the things that they can keep in mind to make sure they're being prepared for tax season?
Well, I mean, the first thing you want to do is you want to understand all the expenses that went into you doing your business.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hustle Over Everything. This is a podcast where we receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. You know what I'm saying? So today we have like a nuts and bolts episode. You know, we have one where we really want to dive into specifics to help you with your business. But first of all, I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
And, you know, today we have, who do we have here? Could you introduce yourself to the audience?
I am Faith Thompson. I am
FT, baby.
CPA.
Yep.
I own Tax Assist Accountants on Yonge Street. And I'm here to talk about tax.
You're here to bestow the knowledge upon us, all the entrepreneurs.
We're here to have a conversation.
Yes.
Maybe a few laughs. And the thing is about it, sometimes you have to make this a little bit light because tax can be a little stressful.
It can be daunting for a lot of people. People don't know about taxes that much. It's very like, let me get away from that.
You know what can make you want to do?
What can make you do?
Take a sip of Nerai Cellars wine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It is springtime. It is time for some rosé.
Rosé.
And like a day like today, bro. Today was flourishing.
Today was a flourishing day.
Oh, my goodness. 24 degrees?
Most definitely. It was warm 24? Outside.
24 degrees. It should be at Trinity Bellwoods.
It was actually
29. 29. High was 29.
People had their shirts off. Homeless guys had their shirts off.
Look at me, bro. I got my
chest. You got the chest out.
Chest
you got the chest hair.
Fluffy,
you know what I'm saying?
Guys.
It's Nerai vibes season. You know what I'm saying? Nerai Cellars Wine is one of the only Black-owned wines in Canada. Mm-hmm. And they are a sponsor of today's show. So make sure you go check them out in the link down below. Nerai Cellars Wine is the spot.
And as I always say, whatever the occasion, grab the Nerai.
Whatever the occasion, grab
the Nerai. Just grab it.
Saying?
And pour that.
Yes, Nerai Cellars vibes. All right, now let's get into the episode. So, you know, today we want to talk to you about diving into accounting as a creative entrepreneur. You know, a lot of our audience are, you know, budding entrepreneurs. They're growing their business. So there's a lot that feels overwhelming to them when it comes to, you know, dealing with their finances and their accounting. You know what I'm saying? So for people that aren't aware of you, and let's say I'm at an event and I'm going to try to introduce you, how could I summarize what you do in a short few minute sentence?
Well, I mean, I'm a CPA. I have an accounting practice, but I also really work diligently to help small businesses grow. And I really want to share information. I think that's something that I feel really strongly about. Spent a lot of years in big corporate and they have a lot of knowledge up there, but that sometimes that knowledge doesn't get shared with us normal people. So I have this opportunity. I love this opportunity to share and help small businesses grow because it's that lack of knowledge. That's what hurts us.
As small entrepreneurs?
Yeah. And just individuals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking about that, right? I've always had this thought, you know, when you look at accountants and how do you define what's a good accountant and a bad accountant or someone who keeps your books? Because we all went, let's say if I'm an accountant, we all went to the same school. Accounting principles never change, right? So you never feel as if, I mean, they change, but the core of it is they're forever, accounting principles are forever like stacked the same. So How do you look at an accountant and say, okay, this is a good one and this is a crappy one, even though if they have the same knowledge?
My opinion, strictly my opinion, a good accountant cares whether or not you are successful or not. They care about what you spend. They care about how you record your information. They literally care if you have, or if you're missing information, if you're missing knowledge, they care.
Yeah.
They will give you information based on what they receive from you. They will give you little tidbits and tips. I had a few conversations with some of my once a year personal tax preparers where I'm like, yeah, you know what? You need to start doing A if you want next year to look different. You need to start doing B if you want next year to look different. You'd be surprised at how many accountants just don't care. They're like, here's your return. Bye. Like, I think a good accountant will actually want you to succeed.
So a lot of them move like from a transactional kind of relationship, like get the job done and your business is your business.
Yeah. And to be honest, some people are a bit preachy, right? And I wouldn't want an accountant that was preachy, but I look at it like I have a lot of nieces and nephews and they all call me anti-faith. And so I always treat my clients like I'm anti-faith, mm-hmm. right? Especially my small businesses, sole proprietors. I say, look, this is what you're doing, but this is how you could do it better. Look out for that. And I mean, whenever I come across accountants that are like that, because there are other ones other than myself, I'm not a unicorn. But when you come across accountants like that, that's how you know that's a good one.
Most definitely. Now, when people like us, you know, creative entrepreneurs, you know, people who have startups are going through their day-to-day business, what are some of the things that they can keep in mind to make sure they're being prepared for tax season?
Well, I mean, the first thing you want to do is you want to understand all the expenses that went into you doing your business. If you had to travel to a client, then you want to think about your motor vehicle expenses. If you had to, you know, if you had to wear a uniform, then you want to think about your dry cleaning expenses. If you had to advertise, you want to think about your ad expense. Anything you want to do that where you use that expense in order to make money, you want to keep that information. Now, you can keep it in paper form. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to the dollar store, they have these beautiful little accordion file folders. You can just pop it in there and forget about it. Some people like to keep things electronically. There's some great accounting softwares where you can just take the receipt, take a picture, it's there, and you throw the receipt out, mm-hmm. right? Keep your receipts. Look at your receipts as opportunities to save money on your taxes.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of looking at your receipts as, oh, money I spent, look at your receipts as opportunities not to pay as much tax. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you see your receipts that way, you'll care about them more. Got right? You. Tax planning starts in January. Okay. So right now you're planning for next year's tax season, right? I was actually talking to another client of mine. I said to her, don't wait until next February to be putting money in your RSP. Start from now, a little $50 here, a little $100 here, and it piles up, right? Start from now to think about what do you want to have? Are you going to have a big year? Do you need to put aside some installments, right? Start from now. Tax planning starts from January. Mm-hmm. That's a key thing. And another thing you should do is if you feel like your business is going to grow and you really find, you know, accounting very stressful, get a bookkeeper. It's not a lot of money. You would probably, I mean, if you're a woman, you probably spend more money on your hair on a monthly basis.
It was like $300 a month.
Yeah. I mean,
I've seen those hair prices. Faith, they're insane.
I'm going to plead the fifth, okay?
It's like $5 bills.
But we probably spend more money on our hair than we would on a good, decent bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. And the stress that you would be saving yourself is immeasurable. So you know what? Maybe think about it from that perspective. And you spend your time hustling to make yourself and your business more prosperous.
All right. So how much should we be budgeting for a bookkeeper? Like, what would be a good
It depends budget? On, okay, every bookkeeper has their own way of doing pricing. it could be any, if you have like just a few little transactions, it could be just, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month. Mm-hmm. If you have like a bustling business with lots of bank accounts and lots of credit cards, especially if you have all your personal stuff mixed in, which I do not recommend, but if you do have all your personal stuff mixed in with your business stuff, somebody to tease it apart, you know, could be, you know, anywhere from 200 to 300 to 400 to 500. There are ways to minimize that. Mm-hmm. Ways to minimize that is by you keeping better track, using technology to keep track of your receipts. That'll save money on a bookkeeper. And if you were to use some of the technology tools to maybe track your automobile expenses, there's a lot of apps on your phone that will track them for you. Mm-hmm. But if you use technology, your bookkeeper will have less work to do and will charge you less.
So you were talking about tax planning and keeping your receipts and everything like that. One thing we hear a lot as entrepreneurs is it's a tax write-off. It's a tax write-off. Okay, I'm going to buy a chair for my office. It's a tax write-off. But we don't really understand what that means when you say it's a tax write-off. So at its core, explain how a tax write-off works. Like, for example, we purchased an item and we're saying, we're going to write this off. What should you do once you establish we're going to write this off in the tax process?
Okay. So it's a tax write-off. It's kind of more like an American term, mm-hmm. right? In Canada, we have tax credits and we have tax deductions, right? So if you are a sole proprietor, tax credits and deductions work a certain way. If you are a corporation or you are incorporated, it looks like the expenses from your business are going to reduce the amount of income and therefore the amount of tax that will be levied, right? But let's talk about first you being a sole proprietor. You are a sole proprietor. You are your expenses. You are your revenue. You are mixed in together with all of your business expenses.
So these right? are like the dog walkers, the babysitters.
Yeah, the people
the who painters.
Are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog walkers, the people who still do their personal tax in their own name. They don't have a corporation. Maybe they don't even have a dedicated bank account, right? You have to think about whatever your revenue is. Maybe it's dog walking revenue, or maybe it's dog washing revenue because there's some nice dog groomers around. Or maybe you are an Uber driver, right? You have to think about all the expenses that go into it. So in order for you to be an Uber driver, you need gas for your car. You need a car. You know, you need to have the nice air freshening. You need to have cleaning. Insurance.
Let's talk about it. Some of them don't have them air freshened, and they need to allocate some resources.
There's one time we were going to Durham.
Oh my days!
And Alex is coming over to pick me up from like Etobicoke, and I don't know. You called me or messaged me at the nick of time, like I was coming down. You're like, bro, do you have like air freshener? I'm like, nah, bro. Like, there's no air freshener here because you know my place is always smelling good. Like, so there's no need for me to have that.
Yeah, you have candles going.
Oh, of course, bro. Just a slight plug into like how tidy. Yeah, yeah. Just yes. want to let all y'all know.
Yes.
And we come into this vehicle, Faith, and Alex is there. I come in the back, right? He's in the corner. He's got a scarf and everything. He's just like this. And I'm like, bro, is it? Because I see him through the window. I'm like, is it that bad? I get in there, and this thing was just atrocious. And we had like an hour drive.
An hour.
And, you know, it's one of them old cars like before 2010. So the tech isn't up to par.
Ooh, mama.
So the heat plus the stinkiness is like a lot of ethnic foods mixed in there, plus people sweat and just dirt. It's just a bad combination. Oh,
so shout out to the Uber drivers, okay? I still love you, okay?
We'll still give them a 5-star rating. Yeah. You know how millennials move.
I still love you. I don't know about these people over here. But sometimes it's the people who were in the drive, in the car before you.
Yeah.
That's thinking what it kills it.
Yep.
So anyway, say you're an Uber driver. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for the cleaning. You have to pay for the washing. The, you know, all those expenses go into you making money, right? And so those are the things you want to track. Like the tax on the money they make is reduced by the expenses, right? So if you make $50,000, you know, driving Uber, and you want to report all of that, that's fine. But your gas, your cleaning, your repairs for the vehicle, let's assume over 80%, so it's all business use vehicle, mm-hmm. right? Then all those expenses, then start reducing the amount of tax that you are subject to. And that starts saying, you know, you were supposed to pay this much tax, but you know what? Because of those expenses that you were tracking, you now owe less tax, right? So look at your receipts and all those expenses as an opportunity to pay less tax.
Got you. So the process still stays the same, like where you're keeping the receipts. Mm-hmm. It's only when tax time comes is like when we pull all those expenses you've been recording over the past 12 months, pass it to your accountant and let them do the magic.
Yeah. Or you can, if your accountant works on an hourly basis, it would be easy for you to use like Google Sheets or Excel and just itemize them, right? Itemize all your Shell invoices, all your Shell receipts, all your Esso receipts, all your car wash receipts, all your, you know, car cleaning. We're still talking about Uber drivers here, but let's pretend we're not talking about Uber drivers. Let's pretend we're talking about a security guard, right? Oh, security guard has to wear a uniform. So every time you have to dry clean that uniform, because it's a uniform and it's required for your job, that dry cleaning is now an expense. You can go down. And if you want to advertise yourself, hey, I offer security services, your advertising now is an expense, right? So all these expenses that were required for you to make that money start reducing the amount of tax that you will be subject to.
All right. So now I'll put another example out there for you. Let's say I'm working from home and I'm consistently on my computer working diligently, my side hustle on my full time. Let's say I'm an entrepreneur working. How could I use my computer and my Wi-Fi as a deductible?
Or and your home space, like your seating area.
Yeah,
like,
so let's talk about all that.
Because everyone's working from home these days.
I have to say, I am so, so glad you brought that up because this is an area where the government is clamping down. Okay. We have to be better at this. We have to be better at this. If you are working at home, like everybody was during COVID, right? Everybody was working from home. You have to remember it's a work. Okay. First of all, let's split it into two. So let's pretend you're an employee and you're working from home. If you're an employee and you're working from home, the government allows you to use the flat rate method, right? Which means it's a flat $500. That was for 2020, 2021, and 2022. I do not know if it's going to stay there for 2023, right? But what you were doing is you could just use a flat rate and that was your write-off for your home, for working from home, right? If you're an employee, right?
Okay.
If for some reason you were not an employee and you were self-employed and you're working from home, then it's kind of split into two categories. The first category, I would say, is your home expenses, of which your internet is part of your home expenses, your heat, your hydro, your water, your insurance, your internet home expense. So if you have a 1,000 square foot location and you measure, this is why you needed high school math, length over width, right? You measure and realize, oh, I use about like 100 square feet of the 1,000 square feet. And so that's 10%, right? 10% of your home expenses then become part of your work from home element in your tax.
10%.
You cannot write it all off. It's a proportion of what you, it's a proportion of what you worked from home and like your space, right? Now, it does get more complicated than that if you have some common areas, like say how we are working together and say you have a roommate, there's some more complex things when you have common areas. But generally, if you are working from home and it's you alone and you have a house, it's based on how much of that house you are using for your work. Okay. It's called the detailed method of the workspace. You estimate it by, it's the detailed method. However, there is a second category of work from home expenses that need to be sort of pulled out. Your cell phone is not in the same category, right?
Really?
Your cell phone, supplies, and what is one more item? Oh, long distance.
Okay.
Right? So that is, those three things are like exceptions. Your cell phone is based on usage. Right. So if you use your cell phone like a larger proportion of the day, right? All this is available on the Canada website, guys, if you want to see. Okay. But say you use your cell phone for like one third of the day, right? You can write off one third of your cell phone.
Okay.
Right? Supplies, if you go to Staples and you get supplies directly for your business and only use for your business, the entire of those supplies can be written off for your business, right? Buy a microphone, right? For podcasting. That is a supply for your business. That 100% of that, that's different than a work at home expense, even though you were using the microphone while you're working at home.
What about internet?
Internet is still part of those work at home proportioned expenses. Internet is not like the cell phone, right?
Is there a max percentage?
So, okay, if you are an employee, there is a max. Mm-hmm. 500 at the moment is the max.
500 what?
$500 for if you're an employee, somebody's employee, then your work from home amount that you can deduct is $500, right?
Okay.
That's when people get those forms working home because of COVID. People got them in 2021 and 22. I do not guarantee they will be available for 23. But if you are working at home at least 50% of the time for at least four consecutive weeks, then you do qualify to this COVID work from home thing, which was available for 2021 and 22, but not necessarily for 23. I do not know. We have not received confirmation if that's going to be available for 23. But if you are self-employed, you're using the detailed method, which means you have to figure out your proportion that belongs to your work. With some exceptions, your cell phone is the exception. Supplies are exceptions. Long distance is another exception. If you have a long distance charge that is directly related to your business, that entire charge can be written off, can be deducted under long distance. Mm-hmm. Those are some like little exceptions. But most of your work from home expenses that I quoted earlier are part of the proportion method.
Interesting.
And you said 10% of your...
It was an example.
It's an example. But typically, where does it range towards?
It depends, right? Yeah. Like if you have a massive house, right, and you use 6%, you know, then it's only 6% of the house, of the home expenses that you can use.
Yeah.
But you know what? You could have a teeny tiny little apartment, right? And, you know, you use a good portion of it for your office, you know, then larger proportion would be considered for your home expense.
Yeah. A lot of the people we... is talk about are they have roommates, they're like in bachelor pads, they're in basement apartments,
condos.
So they're sharing spaces and then you're using it for your business. So that's okay. And let's see, if you're staying in a basement, that's like, let's say 500 square feet or something like that. And then you have a little corner like this, which is dedicated to your business, which is going to be like 5% of that. So I'm like,
then it's 5%.
Is it even worth it at that point?
That's a good point. Okay. So this is where it breaks my heart. Ignorance really hurts.
Yeah.
Because people were not told that it is based on proportion, mm-hmm. that it's based on space, right? Although it's on the government website very extensively. They have a lot of calculations and stuff like that. They're very like, but who wants to go to the government website? Like, I'm there because I have to be there.
It's so
right?
dry.
Oh,
like the first page, you see like black text, white background, and it is legalese.
I think it's the font. I think
they should start using. They should use Helvetica. Yeah. If it's Helvetica or Comic Sans, bro. If they use Comic Sans, I'm like, I'm reading it.
I'm reading it.
It feels like a joke thing, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, you can use the read aloud function, Control Shift U, and then it will read itself to you.
But
for those who are like audio learners like myself.
Yes.
It sounds like you're waiting on hold. This is the Canada website.
No, he changed the voice.
They changed the voice.
Changed it's a pleasant voice.
Don't you ever use the read aloud function on Internet Explorer?
I actually don't.
Use Internet Explorer. Control Shift U.
That's
Control
the
Shift U.
So you know you got a down pass as soon
because
as you get to the keyboard.
I'm an auditory learner, right? I can read something, but it won't mean as much to me unless I hear it. If I hear it, I'm like, oh yes, I get you.
Okay.
Right? I don't read books; I get audiobooks.
Yeah,
right?
Same.
Listen to Michelle Obama speak in my ear.
So do you work out with like a podcast on? I feel like that's you.
I spend a lot of time on podcasts
and Hustle Over Everything's like number one.
Of course, Hustle Over Everything.
HOE up on the docket.
So I mean, yeah. So what happened though in 2020 and 2021, a lot of people didn't really understand this and they wrote off most of their home expenses because they were told by auntie and cousin mm-hmm. that this is something that they could do and they didn't use the proportion method and a whole bunch of them got reassessed.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it was just really, it was hard to watch because then they end up in my office and be like, can you help me figure this out? I'd be like, you know, sorry, I don't know who told you this. Stop listening to your auntie. They're not an accountant.
Yeah.
And I think as well, too, the government was more chill about this before COVID. And, you know, similar to the car logs, mm-hmm. like a lot of real estate agent and people who drive around in their car all the time, they didn't really need to keep the car log. If they didn't keep the car log, the government didn't really care. Now the government is asking for car logs. They want to see it. They want to, you know, scrutinize the line items. Where are you coming from home? You can't go, you know, you can't count, you know, the amount of time you spent to go home or from home. You know, things that were never scrutinized before. Now they're scrutinizing everything.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I heard this one story of a girl who was like, I can write off all these Ubers. And she was Ubering here, there, and everywhere, you know, going to see man, going to see wherever. And then the tax time came around and nothing happened. Could you break down for the Uber creative entrepreneur, you know,
side hustler?
Yeah. Could you break down what you can actually use when it comes to the Ubers and ride shares, Lyfts, etc.?
Okay. So everything that you want to consider writing off for your business, I want you to think about it from this lens. Okay. If it was an expense used for you to generate sales or revenue, that a proportion of it can be tax deductible, right? If you are going in an Uber to see your man, unless your man is your client, that is not tax deductible.
Mm-hmm. That'd be an amazing loophole, though.
No!
I'm gonna go see Boo.
Amazing.
It's 11 o'clock.
No. Yes, yes, yes.
Sneaky
I braid his hair.
It's a service I'm offering.
Every expense. Think about it in that lens.
For sure, for sure.
If you think about it in that lens. Yeah. Okay, this is how I see CRA. CRA is like a woman who's been hurt. Right?
She's scorned.
She is like a woman who's, she's looking.
Damsel in distress.
Expecting another hurt to come around.
Of course.
Right? But if you deal fairly with her, she'll be loyal. So you'll find a lot of people who understand this rule. They proactively go to CRA and say, hey, you know, I made a little mistake. Can we get a payment arrangement? And CRA is like, sure, you came to me. I care about you. I will give you a payment arrangement. But if CRA has to chase you,
you're done. Let's talk about CRA real quick, because we're talking about all these expenses like Uber, meals, everything. Like Sierra's like, oh, like, where did you go here? You were here, you were there. A lot of us, this is my theory, right? And correct me, like, with this theory, is you have your credit card, you have your bank accounts, and you have everything like that. Are they watching your transactions in the background, like seeing what's coming in, what's coming out?
Here's the interesting thing,
and seeing what's not reported. Because, you know, when I got reassessed for my taxes, they're like, oh, yeah, you didn't report these gains you had on your TSFA or your investments. Like, can you, like, do that again? So, in a business sense, are they like really watching your accounts?
Okay. So this is another very important piece of information that mm-hmm. everybody should know. CRA is one department in the government of Canada. All the departments in the government of Canada talk. They may not talk every day, but they talk regularly. So if you got a gain from TD Bank, TD Bank would have had to disclose that in their disclosure in their taxes. If you do not disclose it, not the same day, but eventually CRA will put the two and two together and wonder, if TD Bank said that they gave this guy capital gains, how come I don't see it on his side, right? They put them together. That's one way that happens. The second way this happens is, as part of your tax return, you have to describe your business. You get like a NACE, I forget what the acronym is, but you get a certain corporation type or business type number. The Statistics Canada compares similar businesses right across the board and major categories of their expenses, right? If there's 1 million Uber drivers, right, and then all of them spend approximately this for gas, and your gas bill is this, they're going to come and just question.
Red flags.
right? And then all of a sudden, or like, oh, everybody who does podcasting, they spend this much on wine. And you guys spend this much on wine? They're going to be like, I wonder why, right? They don't talk every day. The different departments, Stats Canada, Industry Canada, CRA, GST versus CRA. They don't talk every day, but they do eventually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be 2 years later, right? And sometimes you don't even know, you don't even know like what somebody else could be audited. So when I was first at the very beginning of my hustle behavior many years ago, I was doing bookkeeping on the side, right? I'm like, this ain't no money, so it's a little tiny bit of money.
Yeah, 200 right? bucks.
No, little money, right?
Exactly.
So I was like, I mean, I have my big old salary. I reported all my big old salary, but my bookkeeping money, I didn't really report. How are they really going to know anyway? The person paid me through e-transfer, which is something that is common. You wonder to yourself, will the government ever find out? Nah, probably not. I'm telling you, this is many, many years ago. Okay. What ended up happening is on the other side, the person who did pay me, they got reassessed and the government questioned, who are all these subcontractors that you were paying? Did you issue T4As? Now, T4As are optional, but because the government was questioning them, was reassessing them, they had to disclose who those subcontractors were on their side. Mm. And then one of those subcontractors were me. So the government came to me and said, well, what happened to that money that you received from so-and-so for services? Did you disclose that on your tax? And I'm like, me? Right? And they're like, well, you know, you didn't disclose it, therefore you owe us money and penalties and interest, because this is years later.
Yeah.
So it's just, the thing is about it, it may not be the same day, it may be years later, but sometimes it's somebody else on the other side being reassessed or being audited that will trigger an investigation into you. Mm-hmm. So you may as well just disclose.
In that situation, they actually gave like Faith Thompson, she did my whatever, and then they came back to you.
They came back to me.
Number, address, everything. So they're always watching.
Eventually, yes.
You always get caught.
Yeah. I wouldn't say you always get caught, but it is possible. So I think that that's the thing is, if you know that you have revenue, if you know that you have money, and say you just get like this opportunity to do this really big podcast, and you know that for the next year, you're going to be making $100,000, and it's all, you know, T4A, no tax was deducted. Start from now to put money aside. Start from now to start creating some installments with CRA ahead of time, right? You can do that. You can assess yourself some tax and pay tax in advance, even if you're a sole proprietor. Yes, you can. And if you do that, when you get around to doing your tax this time next year, after you've made the $100,000, you have a little money in the bank account with CRA. They will do your taxes as per normal. If you sent too much, they'll send it right back to you.
What if, let's say you take cash payments and you don't put the money in your bank? and let's say your crew over $20,000 doing dog walking over from spring to the end of summer, and then you decide one day, I'm going to put that money in my bank now. Just like take it away from the mattress, underneath the mattress, and put it in the bank. And then let's say you say, oh, this was an honorarium. Walk us through that whole scenario, because people think when you get an honorarium that you don't have to really report it because it's seen as a gift, it's seen as a donation. And if you have cash and you just put it in the bank, and then you say, okay, I can get this honorarium from my dad because he's a big business fan and he can just write that check and say it's from him, whatever. And you don't have to pay tax. So avoiding that, like walk us through those entrepreneurs who are thinking about putting a whole load of cash in their bank account to avoid taxes.
Okay. Well, if you all of a sudden put a whole load of cash into your bank account, like at the end of the day, the government may not even know. The government may not know. They may find out through other means, right? The bank may disclose it through money laundering regulations. There are fintech regulations where the government has to do KYC on you, which is know your client, know your customer. So, you know, there are checks and balances. Auditors might pick it up when the audit internal audit does client audits. There's any number of ways that could be picked up, right? And the other thing is, too, it kind of brought me to another idea. Like, say she's a dog walker. Remember, she's a dog walker. And for years and years and years and years and years and years, she just makes no money at all. It kind of makes the government wonder, how do you live? It's the same people. It's the same thought process where corporations for like years and years and years and years, they have losses. It starts to make CRA wonder, well, how do you live, right? So the good practice is to always report a little bit of tax, report a little bit of income, pay a little bit of tax at least, right? Because if you only report losses for long periods of time, it creates questions, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is too, if you say you have losses, but then you have a GST return that says you have a lot of revenue and, you know, some, you know, but not the same amount of expenses. If your GST return says you owe GST, but your tax return says you have losses, and this goes on for long periods of time, it is possible that it could create red flags. I've seen it, but it's not every single, it doesn't happen to everybody. It's not consistent across the board, but I have seen lately that the government is getting more vigilant, and we always believe that the GST auditors are the smartest auditors. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just a matter of a little something that will lead to you, right? Somebody gets a GST reassessment or a GST audit, and it just so happens to be a company who's your supplier. And then it kind of leads them to ask questions from you, right? So at the end of the day, that person could put a big whack of money in their bank account and nobody may be the wiser. It might be an honorarium and nobody might care. Mm-hmm. The government may never find them, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not saying that it will always be the case where the government will always find you, but it is possible through ways and means that they may come across it.
Yeah. A lot of entrepreneurs always think, oh yeah, like if I just take cash on the side and because if you go to like barbershops and everything, I was like, yeah, pay me cash. It's better. So I avoid taxes and everything. And I think there's a lot of misinformation by just taking cash all the time and not really understanding how that's going to impact when it comes to tax time. Can you talk more about that?
So there's a lot of misconceptions that I have come across in my line of work. Like if I don't file tax, then they won't know that I made any money. Mm-hmm. Like that is a misconception I hear a lot. Or if I don't make any money, then I don't have to, like, say you have a corporation. A lot of people open corporations and then never use them, right? Or they opened it and they thought they were going to use it, but then they never end up using it. Well, they're just going to, like, close their eyes and pretend it doesn't exist. Well, the government will question eventually, right? So the key here is there's misconceptions that if you are taking cash, then you don't have to have GST. Right. And it's not always the same day that the government finds out that you owe GST, but sometimes it has to do with a supplier. So say, for example, you pay rent, you're a barbershop. Mm-hmm. So how do you pay rent?
And you have no revenue. Or maybe they just report just enough revenue where it's so sneaky that they're like, ah, okay, maybe it doesn't cut
them
any
heads. And what if that property, I don't want to scare everybody, okay?
No, you're just keeping
it
real.
But I've seen stuff, okay? What if that property management company gets reassessed? Then that comes to you. For you to be questioned about, oh, you're paying your rent. Good job. How are you paying your rent? Where's your money? It's just sometimes it doesn't happen all the time, but because I've been in accounting a long time, I've seen a lot of things. Mm-hmm. One time, one of my companies that I worked with, they were doing everything okay. And then it just so happened that they had a client, a supplier who was Indigenous Canadian. So they, for whatever reason, got audited. Right? Because they were using the Indigenous number and maybe they didn't have the right to fully use it, or I don't remember, but they were using the Indigenous number, and everybody who they had as a customer, and then for us, it was a supplier, everybody who they had as a customer got reassessed. So sometimes you just unlucky and fall into it. The thing is about it, it may not happen, it may never happen, and then it may happen, right? The best thing to do is, if for some reason you are that barbershop owner and you do want to take a cash business, just self-assess the tax and remit. For example, if you have $100, like say, for example, you have a $100 haircut, right? You have
$100 cuts. That's a thing now. See, very just, big Faith, man. You know, like, I know you're thinking a lot of women have the most expensive hairdos out here, but as guys, like,
I have a son.
A cut now is like $50 if you're including tip.
Yeah,
and that's then the thing
the
on your beard,
yeah. The taking the thing on your forehead.
Yeah, and then the straight razor.
Oh my goodness.
I have a son.
Yeah. Plus the cologne on top, a little dash.
Yes. So let's pretend the barbershop says, I want to take cash, but I'm gonna take cash, but I'm going to self-assess. You know, they can take that $100 haircut, right? 100 divided by 1.13, and they take 88.44 to themselves, and they remit the difference to the government as the HST from that haircut, right? They could do that. They could do that. Like on a monthly basis, say like, oh, I did, you know, 1,000 of these haircuts, you know, and I'm just going to take my top line revenue, divide it by 1.13. That's the amount I'm going to send to the government. I'm going to keep all my receipts, offset that. And then they go off to the races, right? Mm-hmm. They might. Some people choose to do that, but then they don't actually take into consideration all their revenue. Please don't do that. If the government finds out you're doing that, then that's much, much worse. It's called tax avoidance, and that is something actually that could be a crime. But like, what you do is, the best thing to do is just, you know, even if you want to say tax included, just take all your revenue at the end of the month and just divide it by 1.13 and remit that difference to the government minus the HST or the GST on your expenses. Make sure you deduct that.
Isaac.
I have an enforcing question.
Yes, sir.
You guys need to reiterate it to when I say it. I don't think they'll hear me.
Right.
But what is a good amount of money to put away at the end of every month, including the GST? If you can, tell me in a percentage. So for me, for example, I take 40% of all my money, and that's aside from the GST, and I put that away just for taxes, whatever that is. What do you think is a good amount?
Just for the audience, Isaac was asking, is there a good percentage to keep in mind on a monthly basis to put away for taxes?
Yes. Okay. So it depends on a couple of things. First thing it depends on... Like, are you incorporated or are you sole proprietor? If you're incorporated, then your tax rate is different, right? That's the first thing. And also, the rules about the expenses that you can deduct is a little bit more relaxed, right? So let's take the three taxes separately. There's income tax, there's GST, value added tax, then there's like CPP, like your payroll taxes. Your income tax is like everything overall, all your revenue minus all your expenses. If you're incorporated, it's whatever is left over gets taxed. If you are a sole proprietor, then your top line revenue tells you what tax bracket you're in, but your expenses will see how much income actually gets taxed at that rate. The third thing is your CPP EI. If you're taking money out, typically the CPP and the EI gets levied. If you pay yourself through a payroll service, then your payroll service will deduct it. But as a sole proprietor, you pay both the employer expense and the employee expense, right? So there is three types of tax that really we have to talk about. And Isaac, I'm not looking at you, but I'm talking to you in my heart. Okay. Okay. So there's three that you have to consider. Yeah. It's hard to say a percentage because I don't know what you're really dealing with. However, 25% is probably safe.
So he's right? Incorporated. So, and for maybe for round numbers, let's say he makes 10K a month. You know what I'm saying?
I would, if he makes 10K a month, he can save, put aside 25%. However, one little point, let's take those three. Let's pretend you're sole proprietor and we're going to take those three taxes and you make 10K a month. So the first thing is you make 10K a month as an incorporated person. As soon as you have to pay yourself, you would have to, on your personal tax, pay the CPP and the EI. CPP, the employer and the employee portion. And that, so that's the first part, if you pay yourself from the 10K a month, mm-hmm. right? If you, the second part is, if you have GST and you want to think, how much GST should I put aside to, you know, to remit to the government? The GST is really a function of how much your how many expenses you are putting against it. So you make 10K a month, but you have expenses that are like, you know, 5,000-6,000, you know, rental of your studio, rental of your, you know, the GST on your studio, the GST on your motor vehicle, on your gas, the GST on all the expenses that were needed to make that 10K a month, right? Then you have less, the more expenses you can levy on top of that, the less GST you will have to remit to the government, right? So there's things that you can do to minimize it, but I always, I mean, 25% is probably a safe way to do it. Now, I don't recommend that you just put aside 25%. If you're making 10K a month, get a good bookkeeper because they will show you all kind of tips on how to minimize that, right? And how to properly create an installment program for you and the government. There's many, many ways that you can bring that amount down with almost certainty that you can sleep at night and not have to worry about how much tax you should be putting aside. So I would recommend get a bookkeeper, right? Let them help you figure out what your tax bill actually is, right? But 25% is probably a good number, je pense. I mean, I think. So.
Look at the auto coming out, je pense.
Isaac is safe in the back.
Where?
Mm-hmm. And let me just also mention one little thing. We also, I mentioned get a good bookkeeper, but you know your professional fees are tax deductible. That is another expense that you can reduce.
Break that down.
So if you have an accountant, you can get that those costs reduced.
Those, your accountant is something that the government will accept as an expense to bring down your tax.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's a big gem. That's
a big one. What percentage is that
so
at?
So get yourself a good bookkeeper.
100%, no?
How is that 100%?
Whoa.
That's what I'm saying.
100% from an income tax standpoint.
Yeah.
The HST is deductible from a GST standpoint.
Mm. Okay. So, all right. So I work in examples and metaphors. So let's say, you know, for tax season, I pay $200 to my accountant. How much of that $200 am I allowed to write off?
From an income tax standpoint,
$200.
Gets reduced from your revenue.
Okay.
Right? So $200, the entire thing is an expense that comes down from your revenue. But just from a GST standpoint, the GST that you pay to your accountant then offsets the GST that you received from your customers.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
So get yourself a good, I mean, obviously come to me, but if you can't come to me, a good bookkeeper can keep track of it, can give you a good sense of what your tax bill could be long before it's time to be paid.
Mm-hmm. Got you. And what about, let's say you said a lot of people start corporations, but they never use it.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So let's say if I'm working a job and let's say I'm making clean, let's say good numbers, 100K. And I say, you know what? Owen Inc. is getting that 100K. Because usually tax corporations get less tax. Can you take your salary and also apply to a corporation? Say, hey, instead of like Owen being paid, pay that to my corporation so I can get less tax, even though that money's coming to me as the business.
Okay.
Because a lot of people say, okay, open a corporation, get paid through that, so you pay less tax. So,
okay, so
give us the information that we need to hear.
Okay. I look at corporations like having a baby. Right?
Okay.
It is a separate entity, completely separate, but you have control, right? So let's pretend you get paid, right? You get paid as an employee. That means they're paying you, right? Now, if it's now like a subcontractor, maybe you're an Uber driver, or maybe you're a real estate agent, right? Maybe at that point you want to get a corporation. Now, there are pros and cons to getting incorporated, which we can talk about later. But if for some reason you are incorporated, yes, your corporation can be paid if you're like a subcontractor or a real estate agent, like those commissions or bonuses can come to your corporation. However, the compliance for a corporation is much more onerous. Right? Mm-hmm. Like a tax return for a corporation, if you go to a reputable place, can be sometimes like, you know, 50% more or even, you know, 100% more than what you're paying as a sole proprietor. Even it can go very high depending on where you go. So it's more expensive. However, you can have all that money. Like say you have a truck, very lucrative, by the way. Say you have a truck and you run food for Loblaw. Right. And you are working as you own that truck. Everything about that truck is yours. Right. So Loblaw doesn't pay you. Loblaw pays your trucking company. Hustle Over Everything trucking company. Mm-hmm. Right. You go all the way back and forth. All the fuel comes down. Like all of that revenue goes to you. All the fuel gets deducted. All of your cleaning the truck gets deducted. And you're making so much money that you have the opportunity to pay yourself. Now, you can choose to just take cash out of your account and pay yourself. Or you can choose to put yourself on salary and pay yourself. Much more expensive, but that's a whole other discussion. Or you can choose, if you have revenue in your business and you have retained earnings, that's another discussion, then you can take dividends from your company, and that is at a lower tax rate. You as an individual can take dividends from your company. Mm-hmm. But your corporation is a separate entity, right? Mm-hmm. But it has a lower tax rate. But the key is, with a corporation, you have complete control. It's like a child, right? It doesn't do anything unless you say go, but the compliance is more expensive. And that's what people get scared of, right? They're like, my tax return was like, you know, $200, and now it's like $3,000 because it's more complicated. Corporate tax return, right? I'm not saying that that's what everybody charges. People charge, like, it can range, mm-hmm. right? So it's just, yes, pay your corporation. The expenses, it's a lot easier, you know, to get those expenses deducted. It's there's a lot more leeway. But again, remember, they compare all the companies, similar companies. If you have a trucking company and everybody else has a trucking company and your fuel costs are like here and everybody else's fuel costs are here, they might ask questions, right? So even though it's more lax, they still check, you know?
Got you. Okay. Because
I just feel like there's always exceptions. Every time I say something, there's like 400 exceptions behind what I say. And
that's
sorry
what I
about
feel,
that.
That's what I feel like with the accounting and bookkeeping is. It's like so many exceptions to the rule for some people. And the people who, their exception to the rule, they usually know someone that knows someone that knows someone. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing about this whole space, which is it operates on ethics, but there's a lot of things behind closed doors that are so unethical, and people get away with it because A, they know a really, really, really good accountant that can just like figure ways to, okay, let's move this here, let's do this, donate this money to this charity, then donate to this charity, and you're going to get your money back. So it feels like it's a, on paper, it looks like a fair game. But in reality, there's a lot more people who know what to do with their money better than you, and they're going to keep the money. It's like Monopoly. It's like if you know how to move across the board, you're going to win. And it just feels as if that if we're playing this game, it's like you can play by the rules and you'll be a good citizen, you'll be a good business owner. But if you really want to dominate and you want to build a big business, you got to understand how to really, really move without getting caught ethically.
I think the key is, I love Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly?
Yes, indeed.
You play Monopoly?
Love Monopoly.
Listen, you and me, I taught my kids how to play Monopoly. And whenever we play Monopoly, we suspend the parent-child relationship so they can talk trash. Okay? And sometimes I win. I'm an accountant. Sometimes I win. And sometimes my kids literally kick my butt because they are fearless.
They're
right?
Ruthless, too.
Well, because I spent time and I taught them the rules of the game. And I taught them at the beginning when they were children, like, well, you know, if you do this, this might happen. And if you buy some hotels here, this is a big spot. As I come around the corner, there's a pretty good possibility I'll land on your spot. Mm-hmm. You know, I sat down and taught them the rules and all the little things that they could do. Well, the problem is, when it comes to money and tax, there's not always that conversation about the little things you can do. Right? And that's what's lacking. So if we're sitting, I was sitting down with my child, with my daughter, and I said, you know, years ago, I said, you know, give me your T4 when she first started working. I said, give me your T4 and, you know, I'll do your taxes for you. Right? I did her taxes for her, you know, I'll just add it to her diaper bill. Right? And, and then COVID came around. And she wanted to get CERB. And she's like, oh, I can't get CERB because, you know, I never filed my taxes. I'm like, I filed your taxes for you. And so the government knows how much you're making and you've been making. So you can go ahead and get CERB because she couldn't work during COVID. And she was so excited because somebody knew the rules. And so she was able to benefit from what the government was offering. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is exactly what we need to do. It may feel like there's a set of rules that you don't know, that nobody is telling you. Mm-hmm. But what it actually is that there's a set of rules that you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I spent a lot of time with my clients saying, hey, you know what? You're not happy about the refund you got. You wanted a bigger refund. Let's talk about RSPs. Let's talk about the first time home savings account that is effective April 1st. Let's talk about, you know, you making some donations that will help be tax deductible. Let's talk about it, right? And a good accountant will do that with you. But if you don't talk to someone, then you won't know the opportunities that are available.
And speaking of which, as we work towards wrapping up, you know, when you're consistently working with all these small businesses and medium-sized businesses, and like, oh, I can see this again. Oh my days. I wish they just knew X. What is that X for you?
Oh my God, there's so many. It breaks my heart when I see people who could have avoided interest and penalties with just basic disclosures. And that's one thing. And the government doesn't always know. It's not always right. I had a friend of mine who goes to my church call me up and say, I just got this bill from the government saying I owe 2000 something in GST. And I haven't even started the business yet, right? And I mean, you haven't started the business yet. Well, the thing is about it, when you initially sign up for GST, they say, how much do you expect to be making? Right? Give me an estimate on the GST application. When you give them an estimate and then you never file GST, the government says, well, you said you expected to make this. So I'm going to assume that that's what you've been making, but you forgot to file. If you don't give them a number, they will make it up with judgment. Right? So all that person had to do was go back and file a nil return because he hadn't started his business. Mm-hmm. And there goes that tax bill disappears.
Yeah. Even for us, when we were starting out, because I'm the one who like handles the CRA stuff, I always had to remind myself because we do every quarter. And this is another thing I also want to ask you about. determining your fiscal period, right? And if it's actually advantageous to choose certain months, maybe you can do it like biannually or quarterly, whatever works, whatever you see best. But I had to remind myself to always go back and do a nil return, because we were building up. We were like producing content. We know advertisers are going to come. We know we're going to start producing money. It's only a matter of time. And if I didn't do that, especially if they look at media companies, they're like, okay, you owe us about $10,000 because we expect this, 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 and that. So that's such a big gem, because we always think, oh, in the startup phase, you're focused on getting more customers, you're doing this, you're doing that, that the government is watching, like there's been no money and a typical business generates this much in revenue the first year and there's no return. Where are you at? You know,
so, I'm telling you, it's if you don't tell them something, they will make something up based on your original estimates of what you said you would be making.
Yeah.
Right. They don't make it up out of the sky. I don't want to give the impression they make it up out of the sky. So it's critically important that if you didn't make money and you had a corporation open, that you file that nil return. Right. This is important for income tax. This is important for GST. And it is critically, critically important for payroll tax. Because say you open up a payroll account, and in the time when you're opening up, you say, I'll probably have one staff member, and that person will probably start in September, and they'll probably make this. Well, the government's going to take you at your word. They're going to think somebody started in September, but you forgot to file. And if you forget to file, The payroll taxes was due, would have been, if they started in September, the payroll tax would have been due in October. If you don't file something, a nil return in October, then they're going to think that you just kept all those CPP deductions, put it in your pockets, right? And then they come aggressively with interest and penalties. Payroll is one of those very touchy places, right? So it's critical if you are not making money, or you're not using your GST, or you're not using your payroll account, file a nil return, because you just want to make sure, hey, you know what? I see you over there expecting money from me, but we still not in business yet, but just it's nil. And it is entirely possible to file a nil return and then turn around and reassess that return and change your return. Right? So say, for example, you're starting, but you don't really know what's going on. Things are kind of chaotic. Quickly file a nil return and then come back later and file the correct return. Do a refile.
And it's just going to go away.
I mean, you'll get interest, but you won't get the penalties, right? Because they're like, oh, you're just reassessing. Oops, you forgot. I understand. You know, you might get a little interest, late interest, but you won't get the penalties. The penalties is the punitive, like, I know you did something bad, you know, penalties. And that can be even more than the interest, much more than the interest.
As you're talking, I'm going to pour the new rye.
Another thing that I see a lot is people who are sole proprietors who open up corporations and don't open up corporate GST accounts. And they try to put, so revenue is going to your corporation, but you think you're filing it through your personal GST. Always remember, your corporation is a separate entity, right? Your GST should be tied to whatever, wherever the revenue is coming in. So that is another thing that is problematic. But I mean, I recommend it to everybody. Get yourself a good accountant, somebody who cares, you know, somebody. I have a couch in my office, not in my office, but in my location.
Yeah.
Lots of people come in and they sit on my couch.
It's like therapy.
Yeah.
Accounting therapy.
Honestly, it's you get an accountant that, I'm not the only accountant that cares. I'm not that person, but get an accountant that cares, that will answer your questions, that you can call and see what you can do to minimize the damage. Report when you know you made a mistake, report it to the government. Don't hide it. Right. Also, if for some reason the government sends you a request for some money, don't hide, because they will like don't hide from the government when they say you owe them money. Deal with it right away, because the longer you leave it, the more interest and penalties will accrue. It's like a snowball.
Yeah. Something like that happened to me as well, too. Like when You know when you're filing your taxes? By the way, let's cheers to the new rye.
Have a go.
New rye rosé, baby.
Y'all know I like rosé. That's why
of
you
course.
Got it. I know it was for me.
Faye Thompson in the house. We had to come correct. But back to what I was saying, right? Like, I got a... what's his name? Bob. You know Bob from CRA, I think. Chief of Revenue or whatever.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Who signs everything.
Exactly,
Bob.
Right? Mm-hmm. I get like a thing, oh yeah, I owe back $3,000. I'm like, what do you mean $3,000? You know what happened? Because when I was filing my taxes, I was clicking those boxes. Yeah, I'm claiming this. I'm claiming that. I'm claiming that. So when my tax return came back, I'm like, rah, like I got like $4,000 or $5,000 back. I'm like, what? So then I go to Tulum. I have a great time, everything. Tax season comes. I was like, oh yeah, like this is my, so I called him like right away, as you said. And I'm like, hey, listen, like, yeah, I mean, I can pay this back, but I know like next year when I file my taxes, just like, just take the money then or whatever. So I don't have to like pay it now. They're like, all right, cool. Save it. You don't got to pay interest. Thanks for calling us. We'll get you when tax season comes and whatever. So tax season came back around this year. And like, I got tax return money back because from my previous job, right? But that $3,000 was a part of it. And it just went. And I didn't have to owe anything again. So if I didn't do anything and I just sat on it, it would have been detrimental. It would have been like probably $4,500 by now. Because I think the interest is around
I haven't calculated interest in a while. Mm-hmm. I used to do that for my clients.
Yeah.
I no longer do those things. I have people who do those things. But the interest is not bad. The interest is not the problem. It's the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
When they start exacting penalties, when they feel like they've been wronged, that is the problem.
They're coming after you.
Yeah, they're, you know, like the woman who's been cheated on before.
She's coming.
And when they see you behaving the same way, they're coming for you.
They come to cut them tires.
And the other thing is too, the other thing is too, people have to recognize Canada is Canada, Jamaica is Jamaica, Dominican, like every other country is different from us. How we see things, how we mull things over, our tax system is different. Our tax system is different from India's tax system, different from UK's tax system. You cannot look at the Canadian tax system through the lens of where you're coming from, because we have a whole different mentality in how tax is calculated. So it's really important, because a lot of times people think, well, when I was in India or when I was here, this is how it was calculated. That's not necessarily how we do it, right? So I think that it's just really, really important that people really take Canada at face value. I've just seen a lot of people make that mistake. It's just different everywhere else. Like GST is different everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like the GST on your revenue, we let you offset the GST on your expenses, and then you only remit the what left, the difference, right? That is not the case in most countries. I actually don't know another country where that's the case. There, I'm sure there's another one. I just personally don't know. Most people just, whatever the GST or the value added tax is that they collected on their revenue, they just remit it to the government and close their eyes and run away. And that is the way it is in most countries. But Canada allows you to reduce it by the expenses, by the ITCs. Mm-hmm. And some people don't take advantage of that, because they're thinking about it through the lens of the place where they came from.
Yeah.
So they miss out on all these deductions and pay too much GST when they don't have to.
Big jam.
I hate when I see that. It hurts me.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
As you work towards wrapping up, where can people find you?
On Yonge Street.
Yonge and Egg.
Yonge and Egg. So I own the Tax Assist Accountants at 2649 Yonge Street. And that is right across from the Starbucks between, oh, there's two Starbucks, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Between Lawrence and Eglinton, more towards the Lawrence side. I'm right beside the Sporting Life. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy landmark. And you can come in. We're open from 10 to 6. There's almost always somebody there if I'm not there, but definitely if you walk by and I'm not there, you can call that number, and call the numbers right on the outside window, and somebody will definitely get back to you.
With that being said, the hustle is what you can't control. So control your grind, control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ono Sinde.
I'm Faith Thompson.
And that's for sure, y'all.
Cheers, guys.
Hey.
Cheers to a great show.
Thanks.
Faith, come here.
Let's go. Have a great week, everyone. Peace out.
Thanks for having me.